the aggressive, the angry, all of them silenced by the food Erskine Costello made. Nadia was 17, 5 months older than John Costello, but she had a world in her eyes that belied her age.
"You work here?" she asked.
First question, first of many. A great moment can never be taken away. John Costello was a shy boy, a quiet boy. He'd lost his mother some years before, Anna Costello, née Bredeweg. John remembered his mother well. She forever wore an expression of slight dismay, as if she'd entered a familiar room and found the furniture moved, perhaps a seated stranger when no visit had been scheduled. She started sentences but left them incomplete, perhaps because she knew she'd be understood. Anna Costello conveyed multitudes with a single look. She angled herself between the world and her son, Mom the buffer, Mom the shock absorber. She challenged the world, dared it to pull a trick, a fast one, some sleight of hand. Other mothers lost children. Anna Costello had only one, and this one she would never lose. She never thought to consider that he could lose her. And she spoke with some kind of instinctive maternal wisdom. "They call me names at school."
"Kind of names?"
"Whatever. I don't know. Just names."
"Names are just sounds, John."
"Eh?"
"Think of them as sounds. Just make believe they're throwing sounds at you."
"And what good would that do?"
She smiled, almost laughed. "Why, in your mind, you just catch them and throw them back."
And John Costello wondered later, much later, if his mother would have seen the devil coming and protected them both. He smiled at the girl.
"I work here, yes." "You own the place?"
"My father does." She nodded understandingly.
"I came for soda bread. You have soda bread?"
"We have soda bread."
"How much?"
"Dollar and a quarter."
"Only have a dollar."
She held out the note as if to prove she wasn't lying. John Costello wrapped a loaf of soda bread in paper, brown bagged it, passed it over the counter.
"You can owe me."
When he took the dollar, their fingers touched, like touching electric.
"What's your name?" she asked.
"John. John Costello."
"My name is Nadia. That's Russian for hope."
"Are you Russian?"
"Sometimes," she said.
And then she smiled like a sunset and walked away. Everything changed afterwards, after the winter of 84. John Costello realized he would become someone else, but he could not have predicted how. Now he finds safety in routines, in counting, in making lists. He does not wear latex gloves. He is not afraid to drink milk from the carton. He does not take plastic cutlery to restaurants. He does not collect psychotic episodes to share with some shallow pervert mind voyeur on a $5,000 couch. He is not afraid of the dark, for he carries all the darkness he needs inside him. He does not collect clipped fingernails or locks of shorn hair for fear that hoodoo will be performed and he will die suddenly, unexpectedly, in blooming dales, his heart bursting in the elevator, blood from his ears, while people scream hysterically. As if screaming could serve some purpose. He would not go gently into that sweet good night. And sometimes, when New York was bleeding the heat of its summer from every brick and every stone, when the heat of 1,000 earlier summers seemed collected in everything he touched, he had been known to buy bottled root beer from the chilled counter and press the bottle against his face, even touch it to his lips, with no fear of what fatal disease or virulent germ might be there upon the glass. See him in the street, and he would look like a million others. Talk to him, and he would appear to be just like you. But he was not, and never would be. Because he saw the devil in the winter of 84, and once you see the devil, you don't forget his face.
She came again the following day. She brought the quarter and paid.